The Armed Forces Radio Service presents the Science Magazine of the Air.
A lonely stretch of deserted waterfront, late at night. Two men walking cautiously, alone. These men are doctors, and they're searching for the source of a threatened epidemic of bubonic plague, the Black Death. Science at work, searching for knowledge that will shape your world of the future. Dramatic stories of science and industry exploring the unknown.
Today, the Science Magazine presents the dramatic story of the doctors whose job it is to protect our nation against epidemics of contagious disease. Today's story stars Melvin Douglas as Dr. Miller in The Bell's Toll.
Greatest enemies of man are tiny organisms invisible to the naked eye, bacteria and viruses. They're simple names, but say them with respect. My name's Dr. Miller. You can say that any way you please. The cities we live in are battlegrounds in a war that never ends. Our wounds are pain and fever, sores and twisted bones. Our enemies are bacteria and viruses, whose presence means disease, whose spread means epidemics.
Here you are, Doc. Daily health reports, national, state, and good old New York City. I just finished the city health report myself.
Anything worthwhile on the teletype, Mary?
Not a thing, Dr. Miller.
The whole country's as quiet as a baby asleep. In fact, I'd say we ought to take the afternoon off and go to a ball game. Say, Doc, why don't we have epidemics in New York?
Because you and I and thousands of other public health officers in the United States do a good job, Peters. Though you may get the impression it's mainly a matter of not going to a ball game.
Okay, Doc.
Let me look at those reports. Not much nationally. Or in New York City. But in the state.
Huh?
A case of smallpox up there.
Oh, sure, Dr. Miller, I saw that.
Why didn't you tell me about it?
Because it's only one case, and that town's so small, I don't even know where it is.
You better check it.
Okay, Doc. Maybe that's it now.
What does it say?
Bubonic plague.
In New York?
Wait a minute. One case.
But where, Peters, where?
Casablanca, Morocco. Oh, I guess we're safe, Doc.
Safe nothing. That case of plague, even though it's in Casablanca. And the case of smallpox upstate. They mean that we may have to be on the lookout for epidemics. Not one, but two.
Oh, Doc, you're just scared.
Peters, I'm a public health service doctor. You are, too.
Look, Casablanca is 4,000 miles away.
But ships come in from Casablanca every day.
Heaven knows how far this town upstate is.
But every weekend, people come to see the city. Those two cases are epidemic diseases. They're a threat to this city and to the entire country. Never forget that. Thought of the bells of the Middle Ages. The bells that tolled for 25 million dead. A quarter of the population of Europe who perished before the waves of bubonic plague. The Black Death. I thought of the bells of the 18th century. The bells that tolled over England when whole cities and towns were wiped out by smallpox. When the bells sometimes went silent because there was no one left to ring them. Miller speaking. What? We'll be there right away.
What's up, Chief?
We've got to go down to the docks right away. A ship from Casablanca is due at quarantine in half an hour.
And so the curtain falls on Act One of The Bell's Toll, starring Melvin Douglas. Before the second act curtain, we invite you to listen to the orchestra and Liza.
Thank you.
And now back to Melvin Douglas as Dr. Miller and the second act of The Bells Toll.
My name is Miller. I'm a doctor in the United States Public Health Service, and part of my job is keeping epidemics out of the city of New York. One way to guard the city from epidemics is to build a wall around it. Not a steel wall or a stone wall, but an invisible one, made of watchful eyes, careful tests, constructed of sanitation, vaccination, a thousand other things. In a seaport city like New York, that invisible wall begins far out into the harbor, where ships stop at quarantine for inspection. A half hour before, Peters, my assistant, read the teletype of a case of bubonic plague in Casablanca. Now we went out in the official launch to inspect a ship just coming in, the steamship Wyoming Eagle. We were strangely excited that day because this ship was coming in from Casablanca.
Ahoy, Wyoming Eagle! Official inspection party coming aboard!
Come aboard! But watch the ladder, it's slippery.
I'm Dr. Miller, Captain, United States Public Health Service. This is Peters, my assistant.
Hello, Captain.
Now, look, Doctor, I'm in a hurry to unload. My line radioed that I've got a cargo back right away.
And we're in a hurry to inspect you, Captain. We got a teletype that there's bubonic plague in Casablanca. Now, if you'll just let us see your papers.
This is a clean ship, Doctor. There's nothing wrong with the cargo or the crew.
Sure, but we've got to take a look anyway. How long did your cold last, sailor?
3-4 days.
Let me look at your throat. Say ah.
Ah.
Say, Doc, the sailor with a bandage on his hand.
What's the matter with him, Peters?
Cut himself with a can opener.
Any sign of rats, Peters?
No.
Well, we were cleared in Casablanca.
That was before they knew they had the plague there, Captain.
Well, what difference does that make?
Rats carry fleas, Captain, and fleas carry the plague. One rat carrying one flea from Casablanca to New York is enough to start an epidemic.
You get the idea now, Captain?
Yeah, I get it. But the ship was fumigated before we left the port.
Well, why didn't you show us the fumigation certificate with your other papers?
Let's see it now, Captain. If it's okay, you can unload. I was relieved. Fumigation is usually 100% effective. So we let the Wyoming Eagle dock. But because we knew where she'd come from, Peters and I stood by to watch her unload.
Come on, you guys. We gotta have her empty by tomorrow. This ain't no Queen Mary.
Yeah, but she ain't no ferry boat, neither.
Push those crates over the loading deck. Okay, hoist her up! Hey, look!
Doc, on the loading deck, it's a rat.
Get that rat.
Get that rat! Get that rat!
Apparently, this is one of those cases, Captain. Your ship is infested with rats.
But my papers, Casablanca.
The fumigators will be finished in a few days, Captain, and this is New York. This time, you'll get a 100% job.
Oh, fine. A few days with a cargo waiting for me just because of one rat.
One flea would be enough, Captain. One flea infected with plague could do untold damage.
So now it's fleas you're worried about.
I'm worried about the lives of 7 million people, Captain. There was a plague in Casablanca. We're going to keep it out of New York. That one rat on the loading net, one rat that got away, was a crack in the invisible wall around the city. A crack through which the plague might enter, with its hideous infection of glands, of lungs, of blood, with its excruciating pain, with a potency so great that sometimes out of 100 cases, 99 die. Now we were worried. We had to make tests. We had to be sure.
Hi, Cap. Say, Doc, the fumigators brought in the rats killed on the Wyoming Eagle.
Dr. Miller, is Peters all right? He's combing the rat's fur.
Oh, sure, Captain, with a fine-tooth comb. I'm collecting Xenocilochiopsis.
He means the rat flea.
Fleas? What for?
Well, first he crushes them in a porcelain cup and makes a solution.
Double, toil and trouble.
Then he injects the solution into guinea pigs.
All still, Victoria. Don't be frightened. Remember, nothing ever happens here. Every test guaranteed negative.
And after the injection, Dr. Miller?
Then we wait, Captain. We wait.
See, Doc, 2 days and Victoria is as frisky as ever. Hi, Victoria. What's the matter, Victoria? You tired today? Well, I'll bring you some nice fresh carrots to pep you up. Victoria! Hey, Doc, the guinea pigs, every one of them, dead!
Guinea pigs dead. One case of bubonic plague in Casablanca. One flea on one rat. The guinea pigs died of the Black Death in New York. The first thing we knew, we had to put Mary on the teletype because we were scared. Scared that that rat that got away had transmitted fleas to other rats. That one of those rats or one of those fleas would bite a man and start an epidemic. Yes, if infected rats from the Wyoming Eagle reached shore and spread the disease to other rats in New York, we might have an epidemic of bubonic plague. So a crew of men, Peters and I and hundreds of others, went out late at night to the deserted business sections, to the markets, to the waterfront. Our job was to catch rats.
A lot of rat tracks here, Doc.
Good place for poison bait.
Or a trap.
Yeah, a trap would be even better. It's a runway.
And tomorrow? Yeah, tomorrow we may know.
Yeah, tomorrow we'll have rats from all over the city. And fleas.
Yeah, and then we can begin our tests. And fast.
We set traps by the 100 that night. Other crews did the same. Finally, at home, I could only wait and think. Think about a long gray body with beady, darting eyes. A body swarming with fleas. And fatal bacteria. In my mind, I could hear the scampering click of its long, sharp claws on the waterfront pavement. It wasn't a pleasant sound. I couldn't sleep. And the next morning, the catch began to come in. The test was simple. Peters and Mary and I took the fleas from the rats, crushed their bodies in liquid, and injected the solution into guinea pigs. This was the test that would determine the safety of New York, of the United States.
Hold that guinea pig still, Mary.
Right, Dr. Peters.
All right, Peters. You can inject.
Guinea pig number one. Bubonic plague, negative.
That's good, Mary. That's good.
We're not sure yet, Peters. Continue the tests.
Guinea pig number seven. Bubonic plague, negative.
Another day, another guinea pig. That's great, Mary.
It's still too soon to know.
Number 95.
Hey, that's Victoria.
Bubonic plague, negative.
I thought Victoria was dead.
Oh, sure, this is another one. There'll always be a Victoria.
For more than a week, we personally tested every rat that was brought in. Not one had bubonic plague. We began to breathe easier. Set up routines for continuous rat check for the next 3 months. And then...
Dr. Miller!
Good Lord, Mary, what's the trouble?
What are you so excited about?
You remember that smallpox case you were talking about last week? The one upstate?
Yes, of course.
Well, there's another case in today's report, and this case of smallpox is in New York City.
You are listening to Melvin Douglas as Dr. Miller on the Science Magazine of the Air. And now, before Act 3 of our show, we present the orchestra and their arrangement of Strange Music. And now back to Act Three of The Bells Toll.
To keep out epidemics, we of the City Health Service build an invisible wall around the city. A wall of inspection, quarantine, endless tests, 1,000 other things. In the case of bubonic plague, that wall held up and we were safe. But in the case of smallpox, the wall had cracked. Disease had penetrated the protective wall. First, as with the plague, we put the information out on the teletype to inform the entire health service of the nation. Though our wall had cracked, there was still a good chance for other cities to protect themselves. Then for us, the real work began. The wall of protection was useless against smallpox now, for the enemy was already inside the camp.
The case is a woman named Williams, Dr. Miller. She lives on Garrett Street.
Pack your kit, Peters.
But she's already in the hospital.
That doesn't matter now. Peters and I are going down to Garrett Street. Mr. Williams, when did your wife first get sick?
Well, let's see. They took her to the hospital yesterday. I guess it was 3 days ago, just after we got back from the trip.
Trip?
Yeah, we went upstate first and then down into Pennsylvania, Jersey, Maryland.
Good Lord.
What's the matter?
Your wife actually caught the disease upstate. We know of a case up there.
So what?
So this, for 2 weeks she's been carrying the infection with her through several states. She may have started an epidemic, not just in New York, but all along the entire eastern seaboard.
Well, we didn't know what it was, Doc. We just
started... Hey, Doc, look at those dishes in the sink.
Oh, I just pile them in. You know how it is. I never got around to washing them.
Peters, soak them in carbolic acid solution. Where are the sheets from your wife's bed, Mr. Williams?
Well, they're still on the bed.
Get a basin.
What for?
Fill it with water and boil those sheets for half an hour.
Okay. Hey, Dr. Miller, what's going on here? Well, what's this all about?
We've got to kill the smallpox virus that's left in this house.
Well, it's a little late for that, ain't it? My wife already has smallpox.
She brought it here, Mr. Williams. But smallpox is extremely contagious. Our job is to see that no one else catches it. Peters, we've got work to do here.
Well, I guess I can sit down now, Doc.
Yeah, you've earned a rest, Peters. Mr. Williams, You'll have to scrub the furniture and floors with antiseptic soap.
All right, if you say so, Doctor. But right now I got... Hey, where did I put my coat?
Where do you think you're going?
Well, to work. I've already lost 3 hours.
You're not going to work until you've been vaccinated. Then you've got to wait a week to be sure you weren't vaccinated too late.
Here, Mr. Williams, I'll do it right now.
Peter's got out his vaccination kit, a small ampule of the vaccine, and a needle. He sterilized Williams' arm and scratched the vaccine into it. On the surface, there was a redness, a slight swelling. But in the bloodstream, the weakened virus which formed the vaccine was working like a weak poison. And the body was already starting to defend itself, producing antibodies in the blood to kill the foreign substance. And these antibodies, their presence and the ability to produce more of them, they are what constitute the phenomenon of immunity.
All right, Mr. Williams. You're vaccinated.
Is that all? Doctor, will you vaccinate Roy, too? He's my boy, 5 years old.
Why didn't you tell me you had a child? Where is he?
Oh, I left him with one of the neighbors when they took my wife to the hospital.
What? Well, come on, Peters.
What's the matter now?
Only this, Mr. Williams. You and your wife may have started a smallpox epidemic.
Come on, Peters. This time we've got a lot of work to do. First, we vaccinated the child and all the people in the household where he was staying. We went back to the office then, called hospitals all over the city to warn them that we might have a smallpox epidemic on our hands. Then we began our real work, ferreting out all the people in New York who'd been in contact with Mrs. Williams in the past 2 weeks.
And when did you see Mrs. Williams last?
Well, you know how it is in the grocery business, Doctor. You see him every day.
That, Mr. Schultz, means a vaccination for you.
Me? Oh, they didn't use me here full time. I just come in for the heavy work once a week.
That's enough. Vaccination for you.
Williams, sure, I had lunch with him just the other day.
Vaccination for you.
Miller.
Doc, this is Peters. I guess we're not doing so well after all.
What do you mean?
I'm at Central Hospital. The second smallpox case just came in.
Yeah. Five smallpox cases within 6 days. The radio stations got the word in the newspapers. Then Peters and Mary got their heads together.
Well, there you are, Mary. All the traceable contacts vaccinated. We ought to be safe now.
But we're not, Dr. Peters. Central Hospital was just on the telephone.
Oh, not another one.
Sorry, Dr. Peters, but it is. Another case of smallpox.
And we missed one of the contacts.
Oh, more than one. It doesn't seem to me we can ever vaccinate all the people Mrs. Williams saw.
No. Not unless... Oh, no, there's no way we can do it.
I don't know. I think maybe there is. We can vaccinate the city. The entire city of New York.
What?
And that's just what we set out to do. Make it possible for everyone in the city voluntarily to be vaccinated. The information came out by newspaper and radio the following day.
Vaccination is available for all persons in New York City. Your nearest police station, open continuously, will give you free vaccination at any hour of the day or night. Or see your physician.
I didn't want to bother you, Doc, but my wife made me come.
Wise woman.
I don't know. After all, I'm already immune.
Oh, what makes you think so?
I was vaccinated.
How long ago, Mr. Harris?
I was 13. I remember there'd be...
Don't worry. That's too long ago. The average vaccination lasts only 2 to 7 years.
Huh?
Everybody ought to be revaccinated periodically. Part of a routine.
Okay, Doc. Let's have the needle.
He got the needle. And 5 million other people in New York got it, too. They came in long lines to police stations, hospitals, private physicians to be voluntarily vaccinated. Some of them people who hadn't been vaccinated for years. Others who'd never been vaccinated. But in spite of all our work, in spite of the cooperation of police, newspapers, radio stations, city and state health authorities, hospitals and doctors, 8 people were ill and 2 died of one of the most contagious diseases known to man. But without these efforts, without the cooperation of those other people, the epidemic might have gone on to cover the entire city, the state, the nation. We worked hard for 5 weeks, and then... Yeah, Miller speaking.
Dr. Miller, this is Mary. I'm at the Central Hospital.
Oh, Mary, don't tell me there are more cases of smallpox.
No, Dr. Miller, nothing like that. I just wanted to tell you that they haven't had a case in for 20 days here, and they've just discharged the last of their smallpox patients. Congratulations. We may have licked the epidemic.
Yes, we may have licked that epidemic. And we may have licked the threat of the rats that carried bubonic plague. With vaccination, we can lick smallpox, diphtheria, typhus. We can give partial immunity to typhoid, whooping cough, tetanus. With vaccination, inspection, isolation, we can conquer diseases that once destroyed cities and nations. Diseases that caused the tolling of the bells. And then silence, when there was no one left to ring them. Tonight, Peters and I are working late in the laboratory. The teletype's quiet. Today's health reports hold no threat of epidemic. But the teletype may start up at any moment. There may be another case of smallpox upstate. Another person with bubonic plague in Casablanca, Calcutta, Beirut. We're working late tonight, Peters and I, because we can always hear it. Those awful bells tolling out the long lists of the dead.
The Armed Forces Radio Service has presented The Bells Toll on the Science Magazine of the Air. We cordially invite you to listen again for our next dramatic presentation of The March of Science, stories of how the scientists and doctors of today are constantly striving to make this a better, healthier world to live in. For our after show, we present Al Goodman and his orchestra and their arrangement of an old favorite, Stormy Weather.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.